Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. Happy summer to everybody out there. I am wearing my Curio Wellness, purple gear because it is football season. It's our 27th anniversary as of next week. August 3rd is our official 27th anniversary. I'm going to be featuring my 27 favorite things to eat throughout the month of August, one a day, every day for 27 days, beginning on August the 4th. In the meantime, the baseball team mired in last place and selling off, and the football team selling the hope of a Super Bowl, the optimism of a playoff team, and the reality of a long, less than grueling training camp, at least according to Joe Flacco and our Luke Jones. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I have some fresh scratch offs, some Lucky Sevens doublers, some pressure lucks. I'm not going to put the whammy on the Ravens here this week, Luke, but you're out there. You're seeing things. Fill me in. I mean, it's early, early, early. And when we have no baseball to talk about, this is what we have to do.
I was just going to say, let me start by saying we made it because of how disappointing, how frustrating the Orioles have been. I mean, the number of spirited conversations, and spirited is the nice way to put it, that you and I have had, or many fans have had, about what this team has been. It's nice to get to football. And look, there's always the hurry up and wait a little bit when you get to training camp and you get to the first couple of days of training camp and you realize, oh, they don't even have a fake football game for another 2 weeks. And they're not going to be playing in Buffalo for another, what, 6, 7 weeks, whatever it is. So we still have a ways to go, but it is nice to get into the routine, to have daily updates, to hear from players on the regular, to hear from coaches on the regular. And to your point, I mean, it's not even putting a whammy on this team or anything like that. I mean, this is the same space they've been in for several years now, with a healthy Lamar Jackson upright and on the field and playing. This team is a contender. Now, has that manifested to great success in January? No, it hasn't. But getting there and being the kind of team that they've been in the regular season, I have every expectation that they're once again going to be one of the very best teams in football in the regular season. Question is, getting to that point and then breaking through in January. And the headline at BaltimorePositive.com this past week was the Ravens can't win the Super Bowl in July. And that's the truth. And that's part of the mental challenge of navigating a full season. And that's where you have a group that, yes, you have some young players and guys that are still, I mean, it's funny, we think of Kyle Hamilton now as someone who's been around, and because of the maturity that in the way that he conducts himself, you think that he's like 30 years old, and go look at how old Kyle Hamilton is. It's just still a guy that's not even, what, 25 yet. So, I mean, it just speaks to the talent that they have, but you're hoping that the veterans on this team, who all have to wear it, to your point, I think the expression you've used is nude ring fingers. They have to wear that. And everyone on this roster, with Justin
By the
Tucker
way,
being
did you see
gone.
those Eagles rings? Speaking of nude
Yeah.
ring
The
fingers, I just have to interrupt you on this. They
wings were wild, right? I
have
mean, just,
wings on
yeah,
their
it's
ring.
wild, wild. I mean,
And then
it's
I
amazing.
see these guys that I know are 6'5" and 290 pounds with a ring that's as big as my head. And I remember how big Flacco's ring is, and I know how big the 35 ring is
Yeah. Compared to like Super Bowl five.
on my finger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like literally. And it's just something that the one I have from 25 years ago is gaudy and big enough. And then I see these things that take wings, and I'm like, it's not even like a ring, it's like a watch. It's just bizarre to
It's
me, but
crazy.
I say nude ring finger now. I don't even nude hand. Right? Literally.
Yeah, I mean, it really is wild. But with all these guys, especially these guys that have been around, when we're talking about the Lamars, the Marlon Humphreys, the Mark Andrews, Ronnie Stanley, I mean, go down the list. You have to fight the mental grind that is really, once you get into the season, that's a different mindset, obviously. But over these next 7 weeks where you're preparing, but you don't have a real game to play. You're answering questions from media and you're seeing fan chatter on social media as far as expectations and how great this team could be. I mean, there's been so much hype about the secondary, for example, since they signed Jaire Alexander a month ago, and understandably so. Are they going to live up to the hype? I mean, for me, the big question with the secondary living up to the hype is Jaire Alexander has to stay on the field.
Yeah, is
Chidobe Awuzie.
Marlon Humphrey going to play 14 games this year and Wiggins 15 and Jaire Alexander 12? Or is Marlon Humphrey going to play 9 and Alexander going to play 7 and Wiggins get hurt in week 5 and be gone for the year? That makes this team very, very susceptible.
Well, I mean, it makes any team susceptible in that scenario. Just understanding that deep depth is great and it looks good on paper in July, but then when the bullets start flying, whether you're talking about practices, where even if it's not full-blown contact, you're still competing out there, and then you get into preseason games and you get into the regular season. I mean, and it's not to paint any individuals as injury-prone who haven't really been. I mean, Marlon Humphrey had 1 year where injuries were very much an issue for him.
He's older now, and the
But he's
same thing
older,
would be
right? Sure. And
Stanley, and the same thing would be for Mark Andrews and anybody that's older.
that's fine, right? And that's fine. And look, Kansas City, the same thing can happen there. The same thing can happen in Buffalo, right? I mean, all of
Well, they
these
put that on
teams.
Derrick Henry this time last year, and 3 years ago, and 5 years ago. How much longer can he do this?
No question.
So
And
they all got a chip. I mean, they got plenty to prove. Harbaugh's backpedaling from going and hanging out with Shitler down in D.C. So they're all going to come into this with their own, haven't won, haven't won. Nobody here's won, right? I mean, meanwhile, did you catch the Marcus Williams act over the
I
weekend?
did. I did. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah. What do you got to say there?
I think, look, it's very important to always recognize as media, even as media members of the media who have played the game at a very high level, talking about former NFL players, former college players. So, I'm not talking about someone like me who played in high school, big whoop. But there's when you're on the outside looking in, there always needs to be an understanding that we don't have the full picture, right? We don't know what the call was. We don't know what of the 11 players that are on the field, we don't know their individual assignment. So fully acknowledging that, no, I'm not going to put everything that happened with their pass defense on Marcus Williams last year. However, the correlation between him being benched and not just improvement, but marked improvement from their secondary and their pass defense. I mean, and the fact that he hasn't been signed yet on top of that says a lot in terms of
His criticism.
what he did last year and what he didn't do last year. He is frustrated, I'm sure. Were there some, and when you have situations like this, keep in mind they had some changes as far as their defensive coaching staff, and like Doug Mallory was coaching in the secondary. He was a newcomer. He's gone after 1 year, so it kind of tells you what they thought about him, right? Maybe he didn't clash with Marcus Williams, for example. And I'm spitballing there, right? I mean, I don't know for certain, but
Well,
man,
Marcus Williams comes
it's
back and plays 3 more years in the league and is okay, then you'd say, well, then
then you say, okay, well,
maybe it
maybe it
wasn't a good
just wasn't a good
fit.
fit,
Yeah.
right? Sure. And look, there have been examples of that. And I'm not saying Marcus Williams can't catch on elsewhere and be a good player again. But man, when you look at how strongly that correlation was, as far as it almost felt as simple as bench him, put Ardarius Washington on the field. You switch from these three safety looks. Keep in mind, Eddie Jackson was also in that picture and he was cut.
He was
He didn't
off the
even
boat
make it through the
quick.
season. Right.
Yeah.
He was cut halfway through, two-thirds of the way through the season. So you just look at that change, and yeah, Hamilton moving back to a more conventional safety spot to kind of.
Well, they were trying these other guys, and they're like, we got a guy who can play this position at a high
Sure.
level, but it's going to change the way we disguise our defense. That's
And it did, but they played so much better over the final six games where you just look at this and say, yeah. If you wanted to give me six reasons for why they improved, some people wanted to talk about Dean Pease. Some people wanted to talk about, Hamilton moving to a more conventional safety spot. Ardarius Washington played very well. Keep in mind, Trenton Simpson was benched after the bye week and they had issues with their linebackers in coverage. It wasn't Roquan Smith's best season. But man, if you want me to
somebody
call
called
us.
him fat, right, didn't they?
I mean, someone said he needed to be in slightly better shape. I think that was the ESPN. What Jeremy Fowler did a poll around the league, I guess, with executives around the league, coaches and executives around the league. But if
Hey,
you ask
Luke, they're
me,
not going to play for 7 weeks. Let's just stir it up, man. That's what I do anyway. If I stir,
you
I'm a
know.
poop stirrer. Ask any of the banking executives. They'll tell you.
But it just comes down to, man, if you ask me to rank everything, gosh, it's really tough not to just look at the correlation of Marcus Williams benched, their pass defense stopped giving up big plays, and it looked better. It looked more cohesive. They had fewer blown coverages. And it wasn't just him. Brandon Stevens didn't play very well last year. As I mentioned, their linebacker play left something to be desired
And
as
they
for,
didn't have Jadeveon
but
Clowney either. I mean, let's talk about like what they didn't
sure. I
have
mean,
that
there's
they had the
always.
year before, which really would have helped them in a general sense to get after the quarterback. They got after the quarterback better 2 years ago. They just did,
I mean, they.
and that makes things
But
better.
at the same time, Kyle Van Noy had a career high in sacks. Odafe Oweh had a career high in sacks. It's not as though it was barren, right? Again, long story short, if you ask me to spell out eight different reasons why their pass defense had the issues that it had, and then it got better, number one would have been benching Marcus Williams. I mean, it just would have been. So I get it. He's frustrated. There's probably deep down disappointment in himself, and I think when you do that, there's sometimes a human tendency to try to deflect. You know, you get defensive. But yeah, I kind of heard those comments. I'm like, I mean, all right, man.
Yeah,
Like,
they got rid of you when they played. We came one play away from going to the, not to
yeah,
the
I
Super
mean,
Bowl, but to
he
the AFC
literally,
Championship game. Yeah.
this wasn't, mind you, this wasn't someone who had a diminished role. He was inactive every week down the stretch. I mean, he wasn't even on the field. They said, even if our Darius Washington or Kyle Hamilton get hurt on game day, we don't want you on the
Yeah,
field
we're
because
just in
we
a
don't want you.
different world here. We had a guy tap out and say, "I'm not going into the games,"
Oh,
if they go
sure. I
for
mean,
like,
well,
I
and
mean, I don't, the kicker and everything that happened in the
yeah.
off season, and then there's Ben Cleveland, and then there's Mike Green, who we talked about a lot in the zero tolerance policy. But more than that, as much as we've talked baseball labor war that Mr. Rubenstein doesn't understand, and we went through that last week, the football side of this is, football player relations, associations, and contracts, and how much we give guaranteed. It's not just a lottery pick issue the way it was 15 years ago with quarterbacks, and how much Steve Bisciotti was willing to give unproven talent. This thing's bled into the second round, right? Like, I mean, this is where the battle lines are drawn between players and agents and ownership and value of players, right?
Well, and I mean, the second round pick thing was interesting just from the standpoint of this all stemmed from back in May. I think it was a May 8th, something like that. You know, I mean, this was a couple months ago at this point in time. Houston gave the 34th overall pick, which was wide receiver Jaden Higgins. They gave him a fully guaranteed deal. Now, let's be clear. There's a rookie slot system, right? All these deals, from the moment you draft players, you know what it's going to be. It's going to be a 4-year deal for X signing bonus and X total. The only wiggle room is the guarantee, right? I mean, are you going to, you know, first round picks at this point get fully guaranteed deals? I mean, that's kind of how it works at this point in time, roughly. But when Houston does that, and then I think it was the next day, Cleveland, who had the 33rd pick, which was what, Carson Schwesinger, a linebacker, they said, okay, well, if Houston just fully guaranteed the guy right after him, it's tough for us to not fully guarantee the guy right before him. So they did that. And then we just had this stalemate.
Dominoes.
Literally until the beginning of last week, the other 30 second round picks had not signed. Finally, the dominoes start to drop. And then basically you have a new slotted system of, okay, whatever, you know, the 41st pick, the 48th pick, whatever the percent of guaranteed money these guys are getting, it kind of settles in. And you've seen the dominoes fall very quickly there. But it's funny, and I don't want to get into this too much because honestly, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm extraordinarily well versed on it because, full disclosure, I'm coming back off vacation. I was getting caught up on the Orioles. I'm preparing in terms of just looking at the
Well, it's
Ravens,
a
but
new controversy, too.
oh, well, that, but I was just talking about, I mean, just this NFLPA mess. I mean, with the executive director,
Fixing deals and
J.C.
the
Treader just resigned on Sunday. I mean, just, you know,
selling out the players was the thing that you, that's.
The rule number
collusion.
one,
You represent the players.
how about the arbitrator ruling that it was collusion, but kind of just shrugging shoulders? And I mean, just a mess. So it speaks
Collusion,
to,
it's just the way we do things, isn't it?
I mean, just the whole thing is just really, really messy. I mean, and that's about the nicest way I can paint it. And that's where you look at this thing and you say, it's no wonder the NFLPA has never been able to make really meaningful strides in terms of, put aside the second round discussion for a second, just the idea of getting fully guaranteed contracts on a more universal level in the way that baseball and basketball have them, right? I mean, you think about how crazy it is if you didn't know anything about sports, right? And you just thought about the physical demand that baseball, basketball, hockey, I'm going to put aside just for a moment because I'm going to plead ignorance because you know me, I'm not a hockey guy, but just baseball, basketball, and football. Which sport is the most physically demanding sport in terms of long-term ramifications and the injury rate and all that? It's easily football, right? I mean, we see how many guys with knee replacements, hip replacements, even before getting into more
Now let's ask the
dark
next question here, but
CTE and things like that.
let me be the smart ass, say which one of these leagues is making the most money and is number one rated and had
And
97 of the top 100
there's
total?
that
Which
too.
league is flush with money, just falling off the tree so much?
You would say from a very simplistic standpoint, well, it sounds like those guys should get the guaranteed contracts if anyone should get them because they're putting the most at stake. In the way that you think about, like, I don't know, coal miners or like some of the hardest jobs that you could think of,
Dude,
like,
I
and it's
remember
just,
going down and watching these Arena Football League guys fall on play on concrete
oh,
for Ted
crazy.
Leonsis for $800 a game or
Crazy.
whatever, and having Leonsis and his smart aleck kid Fredo, saying to me how this was the next future of the next future of the next future, and I'm like, people don't want their children playing this game because of that. And when they get to this level, the fact that if you're a fourth round draft pick right now and something bad happens to you, you're going to get a couple of hundred grand and they're going to tell you to go home, is crazy. I mean,
Well,
it's crazy.
and I'm glad you brought that up because,
And
we
these
did.
guys getting their pie going to Alabama and Maryland and Penn State and transferring out because ball coach is making $8 million a year and Bemidji State wants me or Texas A&M's going to give me more
I
money
can't
and
begrudge them.
Shedeur Sanders. The whole thing's a circus, dude. I mean, I
That's
don't.
crazy. I mean, it's a wild, wild west, but I can't begrudge them either.
Not at
But
all.
it's funny that you mentioned that because, we're obviously getting in the weeds here a little bit.
No, we're
As
allowed to. What's
No,
going on in no
but
one's
I'm just
realm?
saying in terms of our topic of the Ravens reporting for the start of training camp and
Oh, I'll get back to the second round draft pick and the sexual assault allegation.
but you look at the NFLPA and part of what has made them so weak in terms of when they do have a labor fight is what we just laid out there. You have guys that compared to any other sport, they might have an earning window of a year, 2 years, 3 years. So when you come up on a new CBA or anything that you're trying to negotiate, whether it's going to be going to an 18-game schedule, and obviously the NFL in a couple years, a big thing's going to be the TV, with opt-outs, and I mean we're going to see more games on Netflix and things like that. I mean that's going to happen. But anytime you look at the NFLPA, when you look at a sport where you say, okay, we need to dig in for a labor war here, it's tough when so much of your membership. If you would, heaven forbid, if there would be a work stoppage where you'd lose a season, I mean, you're talking about a lot of guys that might be their only season where they make money playing in the NFL. So it's a
And
different
any of the
animal,
guys
man.
that were ran in 82, and I remember 82 well and how scabby it was and crazy and crossing picket lines or not. And like, we haven't had that in sport in the kids haven't seen that recently. They might see it in baseball before it's all over with, but I've seen it too many times. It's been the story of my career
Yeah.
in 35 years of being on the radio here through all the sports where hockey cost itself a season. I wound up drinking with Muggsy and Charles Barkley out in Vegas because they were on strike and Barkley bought me beer all night. So I've got memories made through strikes and Don Fair era and having Marvin Miller on my show back when I was syndicated 25 years ago, talking about all of these issues and how it got to the point that Steve Bisciotti can sit on a veranda and smoke cigars while these bozos that run his company can treat anybody any way they want because they're just making so much money. There's so much money in the NFL that they can get away with literally anything they want to get away with. Meanwhile, the girls at the WNBA, you watching that act? To throw
Yeah.
that in a little bit. I mean, I'll bring that in to show you that when Mr. Big gets a hold of the money, he doesn't give it up.
Yeah, sure. I mean, but at the same time, when you look at the NFLPA, I mean, they've got to get their own house in order before you can try to take
How are
on.
you going to go fight with these billionaires who
Right.
don't care about anything? They don't care about anything.
When your leadership instills no confidence, you know, right? I mean, it's just
When
it's
your
crazy.
leadership
So,
is selling you out and your
yeah.
head trauma and your CTE and your future
It's
and your
tough.
insurance and your salary and your guarantees and your bonuses and literally your body and the 18th game that's coming and the European teams that are coming and just like all of that that's happening. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to stop it, but they better drink from it.
But that's where it's so crazy to me, where, I mean, I think back to last fall, and I'm going to use this as an example, and obviously it's something that impacted me, so I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm, you know, completely impartial to it, but it's why I look at it and I say, you know, last fall when the NFLPA is picking this fight about media in the locker room, it's like, don't you have way, 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 way more significant fish to fry as a membership, as a
You know
leadership?
what I would say to
And that's
them?
just kind of
This
crazy.
is
Like,
what I
that
would
feels
say
like
to them.
weird to me.
If it's Matt Stover, let me get some Zeke's coffee through my teeth here. My thanks to Thomas Rhodes for coming out last Friday and being part of it with Dan. This is if I'm with a union man in the NFL, be it Matt Stover, be it Kyle Richardson, or if I'm with that Trumper and fraud, John Harbaugh. If I'm with any of them, I'm like, and Billick knew this game because Billick came from it. Kevin Byrne knew this. Rick Vaughn knows this. John Maroon knows this. Smart people know this. Greg Bader doesn't know this because he's not smart enough. Chad Steele has whatever the hell he is. This is why you need the media. This is why you need the media. When you throw the media out, and now you're getting your ass kicked by Steve Bisciotti and 31 other billionaires and Roger Goodell and all their money and all their sponsors. When you're getting your ass kicked by them, the first thing you want is the truth printed. You want allies. All of a sudden, Mike Florio and Peter King and, Albert Breer, they all become useful to you. Like when John Harbaugh was texting me last year on the Friday, the week they're 0-2. Media becomes useful to you when you might get fired, right? Like that's when it having relationships. If Mike Elias had any relationship with anybody, maybe the 3 days that he sat and pouted and hid after he fired his manager in last place, and now he's going to go making deals and shine up his turd of last place, that having sources and having media people that are fair across the middle that you can call whenever you want. Like a John Feinstein, like a John Stedman, like a whomever that, they reached you to write and write the truth that you can't get out if you're Jim Palmer and you've been thrown out of your own locker room and you're pushing 80 years old and you're being told what you can and can't say on the on Masson and like it's the portrayal of their media, all of them. I don't mean the Orioles or the Ravens, I mean and. This reality television show that they want to put on their websites where everything is sanitized and the players thinking they want us out, that there's a benefit to us being out, and their bosses get to create the image of everything while silencing them, or they're out on Twitter doing stupid things like telling fans in Pennsylvania to perform fellatio on them and leaving it up for 5 days. Or the Justin Tucker getting allegations and then smearing the media, and then having to run back to the media when he wants to get his side of the story told. It's juvenile. It's juvenile on the for Greg Bader. It's juvenile for Chad Steele. It's juvenile for the league and for the Players Association to want us thrown out. There's my grown-up having done this for 4 decades since I was a 15-year-old kid, having seen them all the sports, all the changes, colleges, covered Navy football, covered military, all of it. There is a point where the media has value. And Roderick said something to me Friday over Zeke's, Luke. He said, I don't know how this country became so engrossed in hatred of the media on every side and distrust of the media when 99.8% of the time against AI, the media has been a beacon of light until it's been bought by frauds like this Smith character throwing guys like Cal out that are you going to wind up hearing a lot about political discourse this week and Colbert and who's allowed to have a voice and who isn't allowed to have a voice and who's allowed to have access and who's not allowed to have access. But the Players Association, when they're getting their ass kicked, throwing the media out, you're going to find out that was a really bad idea. That's my long way of saying that.
Well, and they haven't. I mean, to this point, they haven't succeeded with that. I mean, again, more so my point was that's what you're focusing on. I mean, really? When you kind of, again, and it speaks to the disarray that internally that there is. I mean, they don't have an executive director as teams are, as players are reporting for training camp, right? I mean, and they're going to do an interim one. And I mean, even some of the reporting over the weekend was JC Treader potentially being the interim. It's like, and then he resigns 24 hours later. I mean, it's just, you
It's
know
what?
messy.
It's a big job. And you know what the
It
job is?
is.
Hey, you see the richest men in the world who Lachlan Ford called them oligarchs. It really pissed off Bisciotti. Apparently that was the time. Once Bisciotti got called an oligarch, even though he behaves like one, but the job is to go corral the oligarchs who have all of the money living up on the hill, surrounded by fleets of Chad Steeles and Sashi Browns of varying levels of competence and confidence, and go beat them. Go beat them at whatever they want. They're going to get whatever they want. Just get as much that you as you can and bring it back to these idiot athletes and who are getting hit in the head and just give them their taste and make it look good. Because that's what this guy did. This guy was just standing in the middle, riding the wave. And that's not the job. I mean, and look, I go back to Upshaw getting beaten up as a former player that he gave in because he couldn't get any guaranteed money for anybody. And the baseball, I mean, it kind of wrecked the sport for your dad and mine. The fact that they could never get on the field, they could never get on the same page, collusion, they hated each other, they shut the game down, they canceled the World Series. They did all of that in baseball, but in football, that hasn't happened in 40 years because the owners always win. So that is a thankless job, being
Well,
Demaris. I mean, Demaris with a thankless job, really.
it is because of what I said a few minutes ago. It's because the average career is so brief for so many of these guys. Look, you can sell Gunnar Henderson on what could potentially be a 12-month lockout or strike or a legal, a labor dispute because he's looking at it realistically, that he's got at least another 10 years to play, if not 15 years to play, right? And even your average ball
You know who
player.
doesn't want to strike right now? Ramon Laureano. Ryan Mountcastle, half the rest of the
But
guys
I'm
who
just.
are like, I'm trying. But that's when the vote comes in as to, are we going to fight over this or are we just going to play baseball? We're all making $3 million a year. Like
But I.
that's where it is different than with Andy Messersmith 50 years ago. It really is. But the little guys always get chewed up because the big guys speak up. And I don't know that they have that kind of leadership in the NFL right
Well,
now, really.
but the point I'm trying to make, and maybe Gunnar Henderson was a poor example because obviously he's a premium talent, but in the NFL, you're going to ask 23-year-olds out of college who maybe they were a sixth round pick, maybe they were an undrafted free agent who made the 53-man roster the previous year to give up a year of what might only be a 2-year career or a 3-year career. They're not going to go for that, right? Whereas in baseball, because it is not as physically taxing, you can sell someone on a year, or you'll be able to sell more players on a long dig in your heels kind of fight. And I think that's what the NFLPA leadership has dealt with to try to stick up for them a little bit. Now, specifically with Lloyd Howe and what's going on here the last couple of years, I mean, that's a different animal, but generally speaking, that's what they've dealt with. So I don't know, like we veered off on this topic, but I mean, it's kind of wild that all that's gone on as all these players are starting to report. And I'm guessing most players aren't going to have a whole lot to say about it because these guys are going to be focused on getting on the field, starting practice, guys that are competing are competing,
Well, labor
ramping up.
discord's one thing, but
But
having their leader sell them out's a
yeah, I
whole
mean, it's
different
messy.
game.
I mean, it's really messy. And again, it speaks to, where are your priorities? What have you prioritized? And that's why I just brought up the media thing last fall, where it was just like, really? That's the battle you're choosing to pick a fight over, compared to 15 other issues you could bring up. I mean, it's just kind of bizarre to me.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there in Owings Mills. What are you looking for this week? Just give me a little quickie, what
Yeah.
you're at, just trying to get uniform numbers. I mean, obviously, right? And seeing who's in shape, who's handling the heat, how
Yeah.
Lamar's throwing the ball, whatever. But I mean, what are you looking for in gym shorts?
I mean, yeah, obviously you have a slower ramp up. They will probably not be in pads, and I think it's like the fifth day, something like that. I mean, it's different. So you're looking, the practices the first couple of days will be a little bit shorter. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, how's anyone that's coming back, and they really don't have too many guys coming back from injury. I mean, that's kind of again, the frustration of 2024 was how healthy they were. But, what's the offensive line look like initially? We assume it's going to be Voorhees at left guard. I think everyone's just excited to see Jaire Alexander on the field. Keep in mind, he was signed on the literally the last day of minicamp, so he didn't practice that day. So you're going to see him. I think we're all fascinated to see what that secondary's potential is if they can stay healthy. It's got a chance to be one of the greatest secondaries in the history of the franchise, and that's a high bar, mind you. But what does that look like? I think you're always, for me, you're always looking to see what the rookies look like now, where the entire roster's out on the field. All the vets are out on the field. As Cam Cameron famously said years and years ago, you're now introducing the threat of contact, which you did not have at all over the spring. So what does that look like? I mean, I want to see Malachi Starks continue the momentum that he built over the spring. I mean, they love this kid. I mean, they absolutely do. He's got to continue that. And part of that is he doesn't have a safety net. When Ardarius Washington went down with the Achilles back in May, there was a thought before that, Starks would be the number three safety. They'd bring him along slowly, like they were able to do with Nate Wiggins this past season. But no, he's going to play every down, at least as they're currently constructed. Malachi Starks is going to be a starting safety playing 100% of the snaps. Now, will they add a veteran safety at some point? I think that's very much on the table, but I don't think that's necessarily someone that's going to be a starter per se. I think that's going to be someone that says, hey, when we want to go three safeties with our sub package, then we need to add that guy because we don't know if Sanusi Kane or Bo Braid can be that guy.
Well, it's
But
interesting to know who's still out there from a pass rush perspective, from a defensive, that Kyle Van Noy
oh,
lane
sure.
of players that it's a pool of veteran guys that they'll sign somebody we've heard of,
Yeah, well, I
like
mean,
Jaire Alexander, for
hey,
example, right?
I mean, Clowney, for what it's worth, Clowney's still out there. Za'Darius Smith is still out there. For me, I'm looking a little more at the safeties right now that are out there. I mean, you have guys that have been starters and aren't necessarily, like 35 years old completely at the end of their career. I mean, Justin Simmons is a little bit older. I think he's 31, I want to say. I might be wrong on that. But Julian Blackman, who started a lot of games in the league, he's still out there. I think he's only 28, I think. So will they add someone like that? Someone like that will be looking at this thing and saying, okay, how much am I going to play? Do I want a complimentary role where I'm a sub package guy, or do I want to go somewhere else and I'm an every down kind of guy? I think there's always some of that goes on this time of year,
Well, if you come here,
but
you want to win, and you
sure.
think, I'll accept my role, and if one of these kids gets hurt, I'll play well, I'll come in
Well,
and play
yeah.
well.
Well, I mean, that's what's interesting to me. Jaire Alexander is so fascinating because you're talking about someone who universally is regarded as someone who can play at a really high level. I mean, his last two healthy seasons, he's been in the Pro Bowl, right? Problem is, he's had three other seasons where he hasn't been healthy over that stretch. So,
And we watched Tyler O'Neill play
no
baseball for the next
question, no
4 months.
question. But that's also why he was available in mid-June and available for $4 million. So that's absolutely a swing that I take 10 times out of 10. I love the signing for that amount. So for me, the question is, how do you deploy him? Is he someone, do you look at it through the lens of he kind of becomes your number three corner with the understanding that Humphrey's going to move inside when you go nickel package anyway? And then you say, okay, you know what? We love Jaire Alexander. Our hope is to keep him healthy all year. And maybe that means instead of point being a 65 snap a game guy, maybe he's a 40 snap per game guy as our number three corner. And maybe we'll rotate him in with Chidobe Awuzie a little bit. And we'll kind of play it
Well, you
that way.
hope everybody's good enough that you can do that,
Sure.
right? That's a
And, but
luxury that you're talking about,
because let's
right?
face it, this is not about Jaire Alexander being on the field in September or October or November. This is about December and January and early February, you're hoping. I mean, that, I talked about that a lot when they signed Derrick Henry a year ago. You and I, had different philosophies, different opinions on that. It was never that I hated the signing or didn't like this Derrick Henry or anything like that. But there was a question of allocation of resources. And for me, it was handle this guy in a way that he's still going to be 100% full throttle in mid-January, because that's all that matters for this team. So I would say that as it pertains to Jaire Alexander, I don't need him to play 17 games. You know what? If he plays 12 games, but he's healthy come mid-January when the real season starts and I have him full go and he's good to go, I don't care if he misses 4 or 5 games over the course of the season. And that kind of lends itself to what I was just saying. And not so much in terms of like that you just randomly arbitrarily sit him down, but in terms of maybe you keep him on a little more of a pitch count with the idea that you want to keep him healthy. I mean, they did that with Jimmy Smith late in his career, for example. And if you actually look at it, Jimmy Smith had a couple years later in his career where he actually stayed a little bit healthier than he did at different points early on. So I don't know. I mean, we're going to see how it plays out. The secondary on paper looks like it has the potential to be amazing. And a lot of that is you have Kyle Hamilton and Marlon Humphrey leading the way, right? I mean, you're talking about multi-time Pro Bowl selections.
And
But
Roquan Smith.
yeah, well, but more specifically, the secondary I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But you have Wiggins, who I thought had a good rookie season as a first round pick. I like his trajectory. You add Alexander now. I mean, I already said they love Malachi Starks, but I will also fully acknowledge even Kyle Hamilton, who is widely regarded now as the best safety in football, he had his growing pains as a rookie. I remember that Miami game where the ball was going over his head and the Ravens were blowing the big lead in the fourth quarter. Kyle Hamilton was one of the guys right in the middle of that. So that's not to say that Starks is going to be bad or anything like that, but there could be some growing pains. But all that being said, whether we're talking about the O-line, whether we're talking about the pass rush, whether we're talking about health in the secondary, which is, it's no performance issue with the secondary. I mean, on paper, it looks phenomenal. It's about those guys staying healthy. I have a little bit of relative concern about their defensive line depth. I mean, you love Madubuike, you like Travis Jones. Broderick Washington's a perfectly fine rotation guy. What do they have behind that? They signed John Jenkins, a 35-year-old nose tackle, to replace Michael Pierce. So he's played in the league a long time. I'm not saying he can't be solid. Is he going to be Michael Pierce, though? I don't know. And he's also 35. He's older than Michael Pierce was, right? So there's a little bit of a question there. Aeneas Peebles, people have talked him up. He's an intriguing pass rush interior kind of weird body defensive tackle that maybe he can be an interesting prospect for them. But he's also a sixth round pick. Are you really counting on him to play a whole lot this year? So there's a spot where I would say I wouldn't completely dismiss the possibility of adding an interior defensive lineman between now and the start of the season. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like a high profile signing necessarily, but someone who's played, someone in the vein of a Michael Pierce, Brent Urban kind of veteran out there. So heck, it might be Brent Urban before it's all said and done. He's unsigned at
I
this
remember when they
point in
brought
time.
Lawrence Guy in, and that guy,
Yeah, and
that guy got 50 snaps a week every week.
That guy ended up having a really nice career. Went on to New England and played there a long time. But all that being said, man, these issues that I bring up compared to most teams around the league where they're talking about, oh my gosh, like, think about how the Ravens were with their offensive line a year ago, for example. I mean, we talked about that over and over and over. And to their credit, it worked out fine. It wasn't perfect, but it worked out fine.
Well, half the teams in the league don't have a quarterback
Well,
or
yeah,
perceived as such.
of
And then
course.
you take it from that level all the way down that they don't have Kyle Hamilton or Marlon
Sure.
Humphrey, or they
He's
all
got a
wanted
lot of great
Ronnie
football
Stanley,
players.
right? So.
It's this is what, and you just said it. This is why people are so hard on them about the whole January thing, because you look at this thing on paper. I'm not going to sit here and say that I know with 100% conviction that they have the best roster in the league, but Nestor, I am completely confident that they have one of the two, three, or four best rosters in the entire NFL on paper,
I was
the
going to say
way it
top
looks
five
right now.
guaranteed. I'll
Yeah,
make that bet with
I mean,
anybody.
easily from the
So then
quarterback
there
on
should be
down.
top five expectations.
So, but it's got to come together. You've got to navigate the season and you got to stay healthy. I mean,
Well,
for
here's the
me,
top five expectation. 2 years ago, they were in the top four. Last year, they were in the top eight, right?
yeah.
So, like, they are exactly what we think they are, right? I mean, and
Sure.
then once you get there, then is it you, or is it Josh Allen, or is it Patrick Mahomes, or is it the kid up in Philadelphia that's going to sneak in underneath of all of you, even though he wasn't a 1-1 or celebrated in that way, because they had a running game and they made an offseason
Sure.
signing that really changed things for them last year. And I don't mean benching Jason Kelce, but in regard to the Ravens, these pieces of Derrick Henry that I thought would win them a championship, maybe it's the secondary that does. Maybe it's signing a second round draft pick that had sexual allegations, and this year he'll have 14 sacks and be a sensational player that they found. Like they need to keep everybody healthy, and they cannot win the Super Bowl this week, next week, any week,
No.
and that expectation on them is really heavy, man. That's a heavy, a lot of organizations that
It's
just
tough.
bogs them down, and we can name them the never was, never could. It weighed the Eagles down for 30 years. They never won the Super Bowl. They were good. The Bills still haven't won.
Yeah.
It's heavy.
It's tough. I mean, it's tough. And to their credit, generally speaking, they've handled that really well in the regular season. So putting aside the January narrative, which is there. And it's not, narrative implies that it's like something that's contrived. It's just the January reality, let's call it, of what it's been. Putting that aside, that's why I look at this thing and I say, my only real concern beyond just like, again, some of these more peripheral kind of things. Yeah, you got to figure out left guard. You got to make sure Voorhees can be that guy. Defensive line depth, pass rush is still something that you say, okay, because Bannoy's a year older, always in a contract year. What's going to happen there?
Well, you got a wide receiver going to the Hall of Fame. You signed a guy,
Yeah, I
right?
mean, we haven't even talked about DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, and I love DeAndre Hopkins as your number three guy that's making $5 million. For me, I my and this sounds, I don't say this to be like flippant or arrogant about this team. For me, I come back to, gosh, they stayed so healthy last year. And I get it. The Zay Flowers thing, that hurt. It
They've been
did.
beating up the Orioles about not
But
staying healthy. And Lord knows the Ravens had
my
their.
goodness.
The
I'm
last
so.
time Harbaugh talked to me in the Garden of Eden down there in Florida,
You
he
gotta
was
stay
all
healthy.
injuries, injuries. If we didn't have injuries, if Humphrey and Stanley had stayed healthy, they had that last year for
That's
sure.
where I just, right. And that's where it's so frustrating to me that they didn't take advantage of that aspect of their team last year. And look, they love their sports science. They love their player recovery, the changes they've made since they threw Steve Saunders out the door a couple years ago and tweaks and everything. And look, they've done better on the injury front the last couple years. There's no question about that. But that's where I take a little bit of pause. And look, the same can apply in any market, right? But that's where I look at this and say, if there's something that could hurt them in the regular season, putting aside January, it's maybe that worm turns a little bit and you're not as fortunate injury-wise. And I mean, we talked about that back in May when Ardarius Washington went down. That was already a more significant injury than any injury they had last year. Other In terms of severity, the Zay Flowers timing of his knee injury was bad, but that was only a 3 or 4 week injury. That wasn't like, oh, he tore his ACL in week 18. So that's the only when that's the biggest thing that makes me take pause in terms of their regular season chances. Boy, you got something. And I think they've got something here. But to your point, the mental grind of taking every day, every week for what it is, not looking ahead, not getting complacent, not becoming too satisfied with yourselves. Look, you and I can talk about January. Those guys in the room right now, as they're reporting and they're in their meetings and everything, they're not talking about January
Talking
right
about getting
now.
through practice today and knowing their
Exactly.
assignment, alignment, and technique.
It's the whole get 1% better every day. You'll hear John Harbaugh say that how many times over the course of the next 6 weeks? It's get 1% better every day. That's the mindset they need to have. And look, that sounds great from a cliche and a t-shirt standpoint, but this team being where they've been year after year after year and falling short, there is a mental grind that I'm not concerned about like that in this dire way, but I always kind of wonder, how do you handle that? And if you handle that well and you get through, you got to start fast. If there's one thing you point to last year, September, they were 2-2, right? They got off to an 0-2 start. Look how that changed the trajectory of where they were then come January. That to me, if you're going to talk anything about looking ahead, it's just looking ahead to the first few weeks of the season where you say, man, we got to come out of the gate fast.
Well,
We
I
got to start
mean, I've said
fast.
that all the
Yeah.
minute the schedule came out, I'm
Sure.
like, boy, you better not have training camp injuries.
Yeah,
You better
sure.
be ready to play against Buffalo, Detroit, and Kansas City because you don't want to find yourself at 1-3. You
Yeah,
don't want to
and
find yourself at 2-2, but given that, that animal in September, that wouldn't be unacceptable to me. 3-1 would be great. 4-0 would be, outrageous. Then they would be a real Super Bowl contender, which they already are. You know what I
right.
mean? So 4-0 would just say, hey, it's September. Call me in January. Another beatdown of the Bills in September would mean what? Maybe a lot more up there? I don't know. But look, it's all set up. I mean, this is delicious. You and I are
It
after it.
is.
Even got some union. Look for the union label. Yeah, we're gonna figure it out. And I tell you what, it's a couple of weeks out from fake football. And the biggest mistake I ever made once the century turned, because I really was into those Eagles and Packers preseason games and thunderstorms at Memorial Stadium at Brett Favre.
I was at that game. That was the first NFL game I ever attended
It
where
was very
it was
wet.
just it was a
It
monsoon
was
in the
very wet.
first half. Yeah, crazy,
We had
crazy.
a bus we ran from Looney's and we ran it from Clotta in Canton that night. It actually had some Packers fans on it because there were no Ravens fans here at that point. It was all new. Brett Favre, he's going to Hall of Fame.
Starters actually played back
I
then,
know
though, I
Brett
will
Favre
say.
actually walked
He
on the field and
played.
threw a pass
Yeah.
or something in that game.
Now
Yeah, you look it
you're
up.
not going to
Yeah.
see Lamar. You're not going to see any of the
There,
starters.
any of you kids out there, Google a Brett Favre Memorial Stadium monsoon, and it'll show up out there. You can also Google Veteran Stadium, Brian Billick, Tony Siragusa, artificial turf
Oh,
too, if
gosh.
you want. So, those great memories of Bobby
Oof.
Rainey and other Wally
Nate
Richardson. I want to get Wally's name in.
Bowling was a
Oh man.
preseason all-star.
Well,
Yeah.
next week on our program, Baltimore Luke and I will go through all the names of the preseason heroes
We
of
should do that. Would
John
actually be a fun
Harbaugh's
segment.
21 game winning. How many games did they win in a row?
It was 23, I think,
Oh,
right?
geez. I
Oh
got
my
it. Oh,
God.
God. I'll get it wrong. You'll never come on the show again.
The funniest thing, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit with you. And I've mentioned my high school buddies, like football buddies, a text group that we have, and it's very active during football season, more specifically.
Is
I
this more
remember
light beer drinkers or IPA guys, your buddies? Just.
light beer
Yeah,
drinkers
good.
for the
That's my
most
kind of
part.
guys. Good.
Yeah.
We had that
But
conversation.
I still remember the Ravens put out a graphic when they were at, I think, 20 straight preseason wins. And it was, to me, just the funniest thing ever. It's just like, we've got a graphic for like, and it was an NFL record. It was, but it's a preseason football record. Like, so I remember we got to the point where there was that graphic was made that someone would like Photoshop and like put the new number over top of it when they won a preseason game. And it was just the funniest thing ever. And then when it finally ended, you know what? It was akin to like a factory that has, it's been this many days since we've had a mistimed injury here at the workplace. And that's kind of what it was for their preseason win streak. And I don't know, like maybe it wasn't that funny to anyone listening, but it was something that just cracked me up because it was just something that, it sounds fun at the time, and then you completely forget about it 2 weeks later. And that's what the preseason winning streak is.
That's what preseason's all about right
Yeah.
now. Luke's out on that hill and asking them questions out there. And I'm here doing what I'm doing, which is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour heating up and to August. And we're going to be doing our 27th anniversary. I know it's amazing. They said this would never last over at WBAL. They said we didn't have the, I don't know, they said that we didn't have a lot of things. But we had them, and we still have them. We're still here having them, and we're appreciative of everybody that's following along on our journey. Here's what I'm going to do to pay everybody back. I'm going to give you 27 awesome places to go eat something awesome next month. And these are my 27 favorite things to eat around town. So I figured that'd make August fun because it's either that or I subject you to you and Luke and I talking about Bobby Rainey and things like that, and meaningless winning streaks, or a diminished version of the Orioles after the trading deadline. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive in our 27th anniversary. Brought to you by Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughters. Stay with us.